The following program, If Cage Walls Could Talk, is sponsored by Chicago Alliance for Animals and, to the extent applicable, their guests. The views and opinions expressed therein do not necessarily reflect those of NewsWeb Radio Company or its management.
Welcome to If Cage Walls Could Talk, your weekly heart-to-heart on all things animals. My name is Jody Whitaker, and I am the founder and executive director of the Chicago Alliance for Animals, the partnership to ban horse carriages worldwide, and the Center for Ethical Science. This show was created and brought to you by my all-grassroots volunteer organizations working to liberate animals from suffering and pain. So welcome today. Thanks for listening. And real quickly, before we introduce our first guest, I want to just talk a little bit about our current campaigns, the Chicago Alliance for Animals campaign to get the Village of Lincoln Wood to enforce the humane laws on their books. If you've listened to this show at any time, you've probably heard me talking about how the Village of Lincoln Wood, which is just on the northwest side of the border of Chicago, refuses to enforce two laws on their books. One prohibits the sale of rabbits in Cook County, and by doing so, they put so much pressure on local animal shelters and rescues who are inundated with dumped rabbits or rabbits that are abandoned outside to fend for themselves. They have ignored this law for going on 8 years now. And every year, one local animal rescue in Rogers Park, which is only a couple miles down the road from the pet store that still sells these young, unneutered rabbits, keeps a rabbit count of rabbits that are strays, rabbits that have been abandoned, or rabbits that they've gotten calls for surrenders. And every year it's around 1,000 rabbits. So that's just one animal rescue in Chicagoland. So imagine how many rescues are getting the same calls and how many rabbits need homes. So it's very irresponsible of these elected officials to ignore this law. And the fact that they've been doing so for almost 8 years is just really pathetic. So we will be at their board meeting this coming Tuesday, April 16th, from 7 to 8. So if you can join us, please reach out to me through Facebook, through Chicago Alliance for Animals, or through our website, ChicagoAllianceForAnimals.org. If you can't join us, you can always call and urge them to enforce their laws. The other law they're not enforcing is their own law that prohibits the keeping and sales of naturally wild animals. By doing so, there are exotic birds, federally endangered species, spur, the African tortoise who was smuggled from Africa away from her home and family to this pet store where she has languished in a tiny display case for more than 30 years. So, if they enforce this law, we could get spur to sanctuary where she will have the ability to be outside, feel sunshine on her shell, be around others of her kind, be able to roam. So we need your help. And you can always reach out. I'm happy to tell you more. Or you could call the Village of Lincoln Wood at 847-763-1480 or 847-673-1540, or you could always email them at jpatel, J-P as in Paul, A-T as in Tom, E-L, at L-W-D as in dog, .org, or administration at L-W-D as in dog, .org. We also are trying to ban the sale of fur in Chicago. So if you are a Chicago resident, we need you to reach out to your alderperson and urge them to support and co-sponsor the bill O-2023-2983. It's the humane legislation to ban the sale of new fur in Chicago. And this isn't just an animal protection issue. This is a human public health issue as well, because when you put so many animals in cramped cages. Viruses can jump from those animals to humans. And it happened during COVID where a lot of animals on fur farms had to be culled because of the dangers of these jumping viruses. So reach out to me if you need help in finding out who your alder person is, or want to know more about this humane legislation. And lastly, there is humane legislation on the books to ban wildlife killing contests in Illinois. We need Illinois residents to urge their Illinois state representative to support and co-sponsor House Bill 2900. This bill would be so important to pass. A few other states have already banned wildlife killing contests, and Illinois needs to get on board with this so we can stop allowing this disgusting, vile excuse for entertainment to continue. So again, reach out to me for more information or how to find your Illinois state representative. And I could also provide you with a draft email to send or a draft statement for if you want to call a script, if you'd like to call. All right. So today's show should be very interesting. And so here's the bio of today's guest. Molly Elwood is a writer and the co-founder of Elwood's Organic Dog Meat, a local organic free-range farm. Excuse me. Family owned and operated for over two generations, Elwood's is dedicated to offering the best sustainably raised dog meat available. Elwood's is an ethical alternative to factory farmed animals, and all dogs are bred, raised, and harvested with love and respect right on the farm. For anyone concerned, these animals are not pets. They're livestock. They were bred for this, so it's okay. All right, so now I'd like to welcome Molly.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Hi, how are you?
I'm great. It's been a busy day on the farm, but I'm glad to have the time to talk to you. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for what you do. So tell us, why dog meat?
So our family has been raising dogs since 1981. It's a family farm. It was something that my step-uncle started. He just was farming his own dogs for himself. I know it's a bit odd, but, you know, it was something that he, from his tradition that he had been working on, and he started sharing it with some neighbors, and they found that they really liked it. And so as he expanded to a farmer's market, he found more customers. So, my husband Landon and I joined the farm it's been about 8 years now. We've been helping him grow it and grow our social media. And yeah, so that's what we do.
Okay. Do you think that people can love dogs and still eat them?
Definitely. I mean, I love dogs. I mean, we treat our dogs like family. Dogs are obviously, you know, there are pet dogs and these are livestock, so it is a bit different. But, you know, if you're in touch with where your food comes from, it really makes a difference. So, definitely you can love dogs and still eat them.
That's interesting. And I know you have an Elwood's 4-H chapter similar to the other 4-H chapters for the children who raise cows and pigs and goats and such. Can you tell us about the Elwood's 4-H program?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So we started that, I think, the summer before last. You know, we don't have kids to help raise our meat dogs. We have meat dogs to help raise our kids. And that's really true. These dogs really do. It's true. These dogs really do. They teach our little people responsibility and love and care. And, you know, making sure that these are chores that matter. You don't feed your meat dog, you know, that kind of thing. So, but it's also valuable life and business skills. So it's, we go to the fair every summer and, we've just grown. We have about 8 kids right now. And if anybody's interested, you can learn about that. We just added it to our website. And it's elwooddogmeat.com/4-H.
Okay. Do children raise dogs, all kinds of breeds, and then they'll take them to slaughter?
Yeah, well, the kids don't take them to slaughter. And we limit with the kids, we limit them to the medium and picnic size breeds. We don't really want them getting, it's just too much time to put into the larger ones. So, you know, we're talking beagles and shih tzus and chihuahuas and things like that. But, so they raise them, they care for them, they try and, you know, learn how to show them, so, and learn like what is it that the judges will be looking for, you know, muscle growth and that type of thing. Will these dogs be good breeders, or are they raising them just for meat? So they take them to 4-H, to the fair, and then there is a little auction, and they sell them off. And so the kids, you know, say goodbye at the fair to their animals, so they don't actually take them to slaughter, which is probably, you know, it's a little, some of our kids are pretty young, so we don't want them to be a part of that too much, too early.
Yeah, it's kind of a life lesson, huh?
Yeah. I mean, and even just saying goodbye is hard. So we had one kid, really, she got very upset this year. Her bulldog was purchased by a restaurant. And when the time came to say goodbye, she actually was very upset. And but we had signed an agreement, and we had to take it. And she tried to sue, but, you know, that's just something that happened. So.
Right. I'm sure that some of these children fall in love with these dogs, and then, but you know, that's life, right? Then they have to take them. They have to do their part,
right? You know, and I think that that's one of the most important parts of 4-H. You know, is really getting kids to let go of these kind of childish thoughts we have about animals. That, you know, that we have to let go of our emotions and not feel things as much, because, you know, feelings lead to, you know, behaviors that just, you know, they're not conducive to a good business. So, you know, the quicker you can, or the sooner you can kind of squash those down, the better.
Yeah, I see. So would you say that dog meat, I actually personally have never had dog meat, but would you say it's healthier than traditional animal meat?
Yeah. Actually, that's one of the reasons I really got into it. It's more heart healthy. It has lower cholesterol. Also, the dairy has lower lactose. So if you have problems with, you know, traditional cow dairy, dog dairy is a nice alternative for that. But yeah, definitely it has all the same flavor profiles as other meats. Just kind of depending on the size of the dog really changes the flavor and what they've been eating. But so people looking to reduce blood pressure and stuff like that, they should check us out.
Okay. And I just, before we continue, I want to let everybody know that we do take phone calls here at WCPT. So if you have any questions for Molly or me, please give us a call, 773-763-9278. So would you say that...
Humane legislation. And lastly, there is humane legislation.
Okay.
So would you say that...
Back to it. Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries. would you say that dogs are more scared when going into the slaughterhouse than, say, chickens, cows, pigs, turkeys?
Oh, I mean, I think I haven't farmed other animals besides dogs, but I mean, we use a Temple Grandin approved system that dogs really don't know what's going to happen until the very last minute. I mean, we can guess that they can smell, and we try very hard to have them not see the animal ahead of them. I mean, the larger breeds, the smaller picnic breeds, it is more like chicken processing. So they are, you know, hung from their feet, and they go through like a scald bath and stuff like that. But it seems very similar to other animals. So
okay. And I saw that you even carry dog bacon.
Yes, of course. That's one of our number one sellers, is our pug bacon. It is really fatty. It's really delicious, and we have some leaner cuts too, if that's what you're interested in. But really goes well on a PBLT. In fact, that's what we're having tonight.
Okay. Yeah, because everybody loves their bacon, you know?
Yeah, I know. Bacon, right? Mm-hmm. Hashtag bacon.
Yep. So do people get upset with you that you breed, raise, and humanely slaughter man's best friend?
Well, yeah, obviously. It's not a... It has been an uphill battle trying to bring this to a wider audience. We do get a lot of death threats. We got a lot of phone calls, a lot of farm visitors, some looky-loos driving by very slowly. We've had a few people actually break into our farm and quote-unquote rescue our meat dogs, which is a crime, you know, that's theft. So, but yeah, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, the more you're exposed to the idea, the more open you're going to be to it. So I think that, you know, over time, it'll be fine.
And when you raise these dogs, are they kept in, are they free range, or are they kept in like factory farms in cages?
Oh, no, definitely not a factory farm. We do have some larger sheds, but all the dogs do have access to pasture if they can get to the door. We do have free range breeds. Some of the larger breeds all have access to pasture in the nicer months. So, and there are definitely there's no cages for one. There's no cages. There's no individual cages. They all have, you know, space to turn around, to lay down. So it's much more humane and ethical than factory farmed. And I know that, you know, that's probably a concern of a lot of your listeners, is they want something more ethical. And this is definitely, we tout this as a humane alternative to factory farmed animal.
Okay. And are there ever like down dogs like there are in with other species, like down cows?
Yeah. You know, when you raise this many animals, it's not always easy. You know, they get sick, especially because we're free of antibiotics. So animals do get sick more often. So they, you know, we treat them according to USDA standards. Some, you know, the smaller animals, you know, they're taken care of in an ethical way. And we dispose of them according to the guidelines. So, yeah.
Okay. So I was kind of hoping we'd get a call by now, but yeah, we haven't gotten any calls. And I want to throw it out there again that we do take phone calls here at 773-763-9278. And I just want to... change it up and let anyone who's listening know that so far we have been, this is a farce.
What are you talking about?
What?
This is a family farm. This is a family farm.
So now I'd like to read Molly's real bio, unless you have anything to add before I read it.
Well, only the fact that just recently we had a bunch of dogs that we did have bird flu was found in our dogs, and it did infect one of our farmhands. They're going to be fine. We did have to humanely depopulate one of our sheds. We just turned the heat up. It's fine. The dogs are fine. I mean, well, the dogs aren't fine. The dogs are dead. But it was done humanely and according to the guidelines we were given. So
can you
just want to let you know.
Yeah. So can you actually explain to the public what, did you say depopulate the farm?
Yeah. So the long story short is how our dogs got bird flu is we fed them ground up chicken waste. And that's just like they do with cattle. Poultry litter is an acceptable source of protein for meat dogs. So we feed them it because it's inexpensive. It's more nutritious than, you know, pig feces. And you really can't taste it in the meat. But that means the birds had bird flu and their poop contaminated our dogs, and so that our dogs had bird flu. So that means we can't serve them to people. So the H5N1 virus is just, you know, you can't cook that out of them. So we have all the dogs in the shed. We shut the doors. We turn the heat up really high, and it's like a gentle sauna. You know, they just have a respectful heat stroke, and they just die, and it's really peaceful. It's the most peaceful thing anybody could come up with as a way to harvest. Yeah, it's euthanize large groups of dogs.
A mass amount of dogs at one time.
Yeah, it was a couple of thousand, but what's really great is.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say what's really great is the government pays us up front for it. They wouldn't pay for if our dogs had actually died of H5N1, but they paid ahead of time for us, to treat them. So we will be compensated and be made whole again, which is great. And we really thank the taxpayers for that.
And would you say that when you do this sauna, is it kind of like cooking all the dogs at once?
Yeah. I mean, the smell is definitely reminiscent of dinner.
I know it happens with chickens often. So
it's the same. We that's where we get our guidelines. We get all of our guidelines from other farmers and just follow them to a T. And it's funny, people still get mad about it. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to let all of our listeners in on the fact that for the last 15, 20 minutes or so, we've been talking about something that really isn't the case. But it's there's a very good reason for this. And so I will read Molly's real bio, and then we'll get into this a lot more. So Molly Elwood is a writer and creator of Elwood's Organic Dog Meat. Elwood's Organic Dog Meat is a satirical, comprehensive, and wickedly effective social media phenomenon, bringing attention to the animals on our plate by pretending to eat the animals we love. What began as a grassroots movement designed to provoke a conversation about how we treat animals is now creating meaningful and tangible social change around the world. So, Molly does not have a dog meat farm.
No, nope. I don't even have a dog.
Thank God. but I do know, let's get right into it. You have gotten death threats, and this angers a lot of people, which is, I didn't want a phone call from an angry listener, but we want to make people think, which is what the whole point of this strategy is, right?
Yes, definitely. The whole goal is to make people have to go on a vegan journey by themselves. They find out that this dog farm, quote unquote, exists. And then they have to be like, well, why am I upset about this? First they don't ask why they're upset. They just get upset. And then after finding out what it is, they're like, oh, no, why did they make this? And what's it about? And why do I feel this way? And it's great because a vegan doesn't have to be with them for them to take that journey.
Yeah, exactly. I know I shared one of your posts recently, a couple weeks ago, and my thought process was, I'm just going to share this and let people, if they ask about it, they're going to have to figure it out themselves. I'm not going to hand feed them the truth. So I just shared it, and a few of my friends responded and seemed upset or angry. I said, what is this all about? This can't be true. And I figure, these are people I care about. So it's not like I wasn't not responding to be rude. I just want people to kind of look at it and think about it before they realize, that it's not true. And I even got a message yesterday from after I shared the promo for this saying, this can't be true, can it? And I urged the person to tune in tonight.
Well, it's so interesting because one of the things that I always like to tell people when they like in my DMs, when they go, oh, thank God this isn't real. I'm like, well, it is real. It's real for billions of animals, just not dogs. It is real. It's everything I take is from farmers. So the way we feel about dogs is the way that we could feel about any animal.
Mm-hmm. And exactly. And the things we talked about, the downed animals and factory farming and the fact that a lot of companies will claim that their animals are free free range or humanely euthanized or all these terms that are used in big agriculture, such as what you were talking about when they put all the animals in, you know, and they basically they kill them with heat. I forgot the term. What's the term for that?
There's ventilation shutdown, and I'm not sure if that's the same, because I know sometimes they pump it full of humidity to speed up the process. But I had read this was based on the recent bird flu and the depopulation they did of chickens, and how much these companies are being paid to do this and offset for it is wild.
Mm-hmm. Right. So all these disgusting thoughts of what could be done to dogs is being done to chickens, cows, pigs, turkeys. And these are animals that feel the same pain, the same suffering as our best friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've really enjoyed one of the things when I have a spare moment. It's so evil, but it's going into like feel good news stories about cats and dogs where, you know, like a cat was rescued from a chimney where he was trapped up there and I will say things as the Elwood character. I'd be like, why are we anthropomorphizing these animals? They don't have any feelings where, they don't feel fear or pain. So why do we need to focus on things that matter? Just to get people to interact with me, and they'll be like, you know, you're cruel. And I'll say things like, oh, found a vegan here. Somebody's getting all sensitive about these animals. And then they go to my website and go, oh, no. Yeah.
Okay. So you really do get a lot of hate mail and death threats. And can you talk about that a little bit? Why do you think you are getting this backlash?
Well, you know, like you said,
it's dogs.
There's dogs. Everybody loves, people go crazy about dogs. They put them in little outfits. You know, dogs have birthdays and they have, you know, they have special everything. I mean, I just went to the Crust Dog Show, and that was my first time seeing anything like this. Just the amount of care that people put into their dogs. I remember seeing the sign that made me the most mad. And it's not that I don't think that dogs deserve this treatment. I think that it's just that in contrast to the way we treat other animals. And it was a sign that was just like, it was like sensitive food for sensitive tum-tums. And I was just like, and then they go and eat a chicken. Like, we care so much to such a high degree. There are little babies, there are little people. And, so for me to do this to them is just outrageous, and it's so hypocritical, and people are so close, you know, and that's kind of one of the reasons why I chose Dog Lovers is because if you're putting snow booties on your dog, it wouldn't take much for you to hang out with a turkey and go, oh my gosh, this turkey has a personality too that I really enjoy.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And if people just gave other animals a chance and realized that, I mean, there are so many videos on social media of a pig and a dog kind of bouncing a ball back and forth and playing. And you see the pig playing just like the dog. And yet people are willing to care for that dog and then go home and eat a pork chop. And it's just this, and I understand it in a sense. We, you know, most people grew up eating meat, and that's what they were given to eat. So I love this idea of, you know, you're making people think more about it, about what's on their plate.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I try and use. All my pictures are stock photos of, you know, chicken and beef and pork. And sorry to use those words, but the point is that it needs to look as much like what is on somebody's plate as, you know, so that they make that connection. And it was funny, this it was my realtor just the other day. We're selling our house, and I finally confessed to her what I do for work. And I hadn't told her because I live in a very rural farm community, and I didn't want to lose my realtor. So I told her what I do, and it was funny because she just got, you know, I told her that it was satire, and she got visibly sick. Her face went pale, even telling her about what it was. And then it was great to tell her. I was like, and the point of it is, and just by telling her, I know I'm planting the seed. I said, it's so when everybody looks at meat, they think of a dog. They think of this product, this project. And when everyone looks at a dog, they think about meat. And she just was like, oh. I'm like, and now there you go. And what was good, this all came up because she just got a new dog, and the dog's name is Molly. And now she's going to have to think about this forever.
Exactly. Right. You know, I had Gene Bauer on a few weeks back, the founder of Farm Sanctuary, and he said, he had said something so powerful. And it, you know, it's really not, I just feel like I'd never thought of this before, but he had talked about how some countries do eat dogs, and how some other countries eat horses, and then how some other countries don't eat cows, or they won't eat pigs. So it really drives home the point that whether, because we people get so angry about this, about your issue, your campaign, because you know you're killing and you're slaughtering dogs, but there's other cultures, other countries that eat dog. And but they, you know, other countries that won't eat pigs. So it just goes to show that it doesn't matter who the animal is. They all feel the same pain, fear, joy, love, and that none of them, regardless of species, want to die for your meal.
No, and the animal doesn't care where you are when you eat them. You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, you were in Switzerland, so it was totally fine for you to eat this dog, eat me as a dog. You know, it is, what's really funny is I've had a couple people say this, where they said, having followed this account for a few years, it's so funny how this has, to them, has normalized dogs as meat. Like, it's not shocking anymore. And I'm like, that is also the power of marketing. And that's exactly what has been done to us by the meat industry, is by showing it to us so much. It is just, it's normal. And the point of the initial interaction with Elle Woods is to kind of shake you out of that, because we've all been just lulled into it. And we think seeing body parts on billboards are fine. But one of my favorite quotes was, I like that I'm quoting myself. One of my favorite things that I posted was, I said that there's absolutely nothing strange about having four or five different cut up dogs in my freezer at once. It's so awful. And when you're like, when it's cows, people are like, don't bat an eyelash. So,
yeah. And it is, it's a disturbing thought. Just saying that I have four or five different cuts of dog in my freezer. But it's the same, you know, just exchange the word dog for pig or cow, and don't use the word pork. Don't use the word beef. Use the actual name of the animal. And that'll help too, is, you know, if you are trying to get there, or you want to make this humane change in your life, don't think of a pork chop as, you know, as the
pork
name.
Chop.
Think of it as, you know, a pig body part, or, you know, or steak. It's cow. It's an animal.
Yeah.
It's not, it's not food. It shouldn't be food. And it's interesting when people, and this is another, issue that kind of goes around on social media, is so many people will rally around saving one animal. If a cow breaks free from a slaughterhouse, or a pig falls off a slaughterhouse truck and makes a break for it, the world rallies around that animal and does everything they can to make sure that animal gets to sanctuary and has a forever home. But then they go and eat that animal, the animal they never met. It's very, it's interesting. It's sad, but it is an interesting thing to think about. And if yeah. you're one of those people who hear about a chicken who fell off a slaughterhouse truck, who you found on a corner, or that, you know, think about that animal is the same as the one in the factory farm who can't even spread her wings.
Yeah, and I think that just comes back to the fact that we rarely get a chance to see these animals. We don't get to see them. We don't get to see them at all. And two, we don't get to see them as individuals. And it isn't until we get that chance that we realize that we care about them. I like it. One of the things that I like to talk to people who aren't vegan yet is I say, if a bird hit your window, you know, and you tried to nurse the bird back to health and she still died, you would feel heartbroken. Or even when the bird's still alive, after a while you would know their mannerisms and know that, you know, the bird knows that she's about to be fed and how sweet and cute that is. And I'm saying that's the connection you can have with any animal. You could have that connection with a mouse, with, you know, with a chicken, with a turkey, with a cow. It's, we don't get the moment to see their mannerisms and connect with them on that level, and that's so sad.
And that's why I would encourage everybody to go visit a local animal mm-hmm. sanctuary if you have one near you, and mm-hmm. they allow you to come and meet the animals on their terms. So you can maybe sit with a pig and pet, or pet a hen, and get to know that they have very similar personalities, and that some animals purr like a cat does, or they play right. like a dog, you know. So it's really important that people stop thinking that livestock are different from our companion, our loved companion animals and pets, because that's something that I know you use. What's the difference between a house pet and livestock?
Yeah, I say maybe there's no such thing as a food animal. I mean, that's,
right.
I just think that just really drives it home. It's just like when people say that, when I'm doing like dog meat tastings on the street, and they're like, this is a pet and this is a food animal. And I'd be like, well, what if it's raised as a food animal? And then what, you're like trapped in our own language going, well, what does that even mean? If it's raised as something, is that, does intent make it okay? If this pig was only raised as a pet, would you then eat that pig? I mean, and they generally would say no. And it's just this weird, we go through so many hoops to try and justify our actions to make them okay.
Right. And livestock, that's just a disgusting term.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I love how Elwoods uses yeah. exact words and phrasings of the agriculture industry, of big agriculture, and the excuses that people say. I saw one of your posts where it said something about buying for the holidays. You could buy a half a dog or the whole dog. And it made me,
whole or half.
Yeah. And it made me think of when you read about the whole hog. And, I love that. I mean, that really drives home, in my opinion,
yeah.
using the same terminology when you talk about these dogs.
Right. You know, they split a dog with a neighbor. If you have freezer space, it's just, it is all like I could write this stuff at this point, but I think it's so much more powerful to know that this came from somewhere. And, you know, the phrases I've learned of the things people say are just so disgusting. When they're like, you have a problem dog, send him to freezer camp. And that's based on roosters that are, you know, roosters that are aggressive. And I just think, and I that also nips it in the bud when people say, you know, vegans are lying, vegans are exaggerating, you're making this stuff up. And I'm like, no, it came right from you. I just copied and pasted it and changed the word. But at the same time, that means that a lot of the posts that I share when it's a tough day at the farm and something bad happens, that also means that there's this kind of double, there's this added depth that I want people to get, which is, as much as we want to say farmers are hypocrites and they're saying, you know, they love animals like family, they're saying this because they believe it. And they do mourn the loss of their animals. And while, you know, an animal has one bad day, that farmer has one bad day every day doing this to animals. And what we've done, what society has done to farmers to make them have to do this, because we will keep paying them and they are, you know, trapped by the same system we're all in. I know that it's not very, it sounds not very vegan of me to have sympathy, but I do. I feel the pain of these farmers, and I feel that more people should understand what their money is going to pay for. When you're paying for someone to kill an animal, there's somebody killing an animal.
Right.
Somebody, and that's they have no alternatives to the ways of quote harvesting animals than what they have. Their tools are crude and it's awful.
Mm-hmm. And no, you're not any less vegan for having empathy for farmers or for anybody who needs that job. I know that in slaughterhouses and factory farms, there are a lot of undocumented workers, because that is
right.
One job they can get. And you can't
right.
blame them for that. They have to survive as well. They have to feed their families,
right.
feed themselves. But at the end of the day, like you said, they're killing animals for a living, and that cannot be easy on anyone unless you're someone who absolutely lacks all empathy and like a psychopath. But I'm
yeah.
certain that there are a lot of people in that industry who do not want to do that for a living. But as long
right.
as people are buying dead animals, mm-hmm. there's people who have to do that horrific job.
Right. And I think that that's one thing that a lot of people don't understand, and they've been pretty surprised about. You know, some people say that, you know, they don't really care about the animal issues. And I'm like, well, let's turn it to the human issue, which is, what is the impact on slaughterhouse workers and the higher rates of domestic violence and alcoholism and drug use and suicide amongst the farm workers and slaughterhouse workers. It's I don't want to say the word evil, but it's a contaminant. It gets into you. How could it not?
Yeah, it's a disturbing industry, and mm-hmm. I don't think anybody. What's interesting is nobody wants to be a part of animal agriculture, in the sense of the runoff, the environmental devastation. Nobody wants to live near a pig farm, but they want to eat the pig, but they don't want to live
right.
near the farm. So
right.
you got to look at all these things. If you are still eating animals and yet you don't want to be part of the suffering, you don't want to be part of, you know, the fact that someone has to do this for a living. And like you said, people who work in these industries have such higher rates of suicide and domestic violence and alcoholism and drug use. Well, guess what? They're trying to get, you know, when they get home from work after a day of slaughtering animals' throats of animals who don't want to die, they've got to take the pain away. They got to take the edge off.
Yeah. They got to forget what they've done. And yeah.
Yeah. So it's, there's nothing, I've said this before on the show, there's absolutely nothing positive about big agriculture, but it's disturbing yeah. on so many levels. And the only people profiting are the executives of the big meat companies. You know, the
right,
employees
right.
aren't ever making money. They make little money, and their job is dangerous as all get out. I mean, they can lose a finger, a hand, in a heartbeat. The incredibly fast slaughter lines, and they keep making them faster and faster. And then they're, I don't even want to get into it, but again, you don't have to be a part of that. You don't have to be a part of that suffering.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that that's just when we try and reach out for justifications of why we do things, why we keep doing them. It just, we keep reaching further and further. And I think that when it's because the answer of giving up animals seems a bit, that seems extreme. But when you think about all the things that are caused by animal ag, what is the extreme thing? Is it eating lentils, or is it, you know, paying for this.
Right. And I think vegan, the word vegan or veganism, it's such a negative term to so many people. I think that there are so many misconceptions about that word and what it means. And really, all it means is someone who is doing their best to cause the least suffering. So
yeah,
we're not, I think a lot of people have this thought that we think we're superior to others, and we don't. We just don't want to see animals suffering. We don't want to see the people suffering. I don't walk around with a sign on my back saying vegan. I have no interest in that. My goal is to educate the public about all these issues, all the sadness, all the suffering, so that people can make their own choices and stop, be part of the positive change. So when you hear that word or see the word, don't immediately think, oh, that person's all high and mighty and they think so much of themselves. No, we're doing it for a reason. And if you are someone who would rescue a dog, a cat, a bird that is suffering, and you see an animal suffering on the street, if you're that person who's going to go out and do your best to protect that animal and get them to safety, then you're already on the path there. You already think along the lines of why vegans are vegans, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I would say that that's your when people are rescuing animals, and you see it on Instagram, they're rescuing geese who fall, you know, baby geese who've fallen down a water drain, or getting ducks out of traffic. I'm like, I always comment, I was like, look at these vegans having a vegan moment, and everybody likes to get back at me and be like, how do you know they're vegan? I'm like, well, they're just not there yet, but, you know,
they're doing, their actions show that they care. And that's really what veganism is about, is caring about animals and doing, mm-hmm. again, doing our best to not cause any suffering. So tell us about the Crufts dog show in the United Kingdom.
So Crufts is the biggest, they tout themselves as the biggest dog show on earth, and it is a massive 4-day event in Birmingham, UK, and Elwoods went to show people the wonders of organic local dog meat. We say we have a farm just outside of the city there, and so we did some dog meat tastings in Birmingham. Some people, I don't know who they were, put up some posters about our thing in the, you know, throughout the event, and we had a dog treat, like treats that are, they, you know, it was packaging that said dog treats on the outside, but on the inside it was Elwood stuff, and they got put in the VIP crush bags, and were left at a few hotels, and we had some menus that were placed in different places, and so it was just a lot of distribution of Elwood's materials throughout, and then some of us wore some t-shirts there, and we all got kicked out for some reason. They didn't like the butcher chart, the dog butcher chart on the front of it, and we were asked to leave.
it definitely hits a nerve with a lot of people, with good reason.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was but, you know, what's funny is the British are so much more reserved than Americans, obviously. We all know that. So it was a lot of faces. A lot of people made a lot of faces and then immediately pretended like that face didn't happen and walked by. And then they went and complained to people, whereas in the U.S. we get confronted. So when we had the dog meat tasting, we were out there for quite some time. We had a few people get pretty angry. Some guy threw all of our samples on the ground. But then somebody representing the city council came down. He said he'd had a lot of phone complaints about us. And I said, well, oh, amazing. How many phone calls did you get? And he was like, well, enough to get me down here on a Saturday, which was great. And people have been calling the RSPCA on us. And also, somebody was protesting us and made a website called StopElwoodDogMeat.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems very similar to the way some pigs are treated on an Indiana farm. So if you're interested, that's a good website to check out.
Right. Well, it's, you know, just talking about this, we didn't even bring up the obvious fact that dogs and cats are protected. And then all these other animals, pigs, cows, chickens, turkeys, goats, lamb, are considered livestock or considered food animals, and they don't have any protections. And I mean, does that make any sense in our world? If you have any intelligence, you know that all animals are the same. Not all the same, like look, but they, why do we protect one animal and literally torture and slaughter another?
But also, aren't the rules similar too? That, I mean, something about the idea that farmed animals, there are no like rules on how you have, like, they just have to have access to like food and water and shelter, and there's no rules except for during transport, you know, so something like that. I'm a little rusty on that.
Well, I mean, none of the law, and even the laws on the books for the Animal Welfare Act aren't enforced. The departments of ag don't enforce these laws, and there are no cameras in these slaughterhouses and factory farms to protect the animals from abuse, which we all know there is a ton of. So if you're still eating meat, you just got to know that the animal you consume had endured a lot of torture and suffering before they got to the grocery store and got to your plate. So how can people learn more about this very clever campaign and help raise awareness about Elwood's dog meat?
Oh, right. So we, our main website is elwooddogmeat.com. That's ELWOOD. And our Facebook page is similar. It's at Elwood Dog Meat. We're also on Instagram, Elwood's Organic Dog. We do, if you're an activist, we welcome people to use our materials and do dog meat tastings. I have some guidance on the website. If you go to the contact page on the menu, I mean, sorry, the contact part of the menu, it'll drop down and you'll see a page called Farmhand, so you can find out stuff. But the best way to do it is just to share the content and don't comment on it. Just say, you can say, look what I found. And I have a bunch of like leave behind cards too that you can leave so people go on a vegan journey. So if you want to support us, we have a Patreon and PayPal and all that stuff, and you can find that on our website.
Well, it was great talking to you. I've known about Elwood's for quite a while, and I think it's a remarkably smart issue. And I appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much for having me and for being a voice for the animals.
Oh, thank you. Take care, and I will talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
And before we end today, I would like to quickly thank my friends and former bosses, Christine Dorchek and Carrie Teal of Grade 2K USA Worldwide, who are helping support this important show. They work daily to end the cruelty of dog racing across the globe. And you can learn more about how a small group of people can make a big difference for animals at grade2kusa.org. And I'll end today with this quote by Mike Ness. No one would barbecue their family dog. Why is a cow or a pig or a chicken different? And that's so true. Please remember that you don't have to take part in animal suffering ever. You can make the choice to be more compassionate in your diet and in your life. This is Jody Whitaker of the Chicago Alliance for Animals. Please visit ChicagoAllianceForAnimals.org or look us up on Facebook and reach out to help us with our very active campaigns to free Spur. Free Spur the Tortoise, Free Rocky the Coyote, Ban Horse Carriages Worldwide, Ban Fur in Chicago, Ban Wildlife Killing Contest in Illinois, and so much more. I'm always looking for sponsors to help keep this show going each week. If you want to run an ad for your company or your organization, please reach out to me and we can talk about very low rates to support the show so we can keep educating the public on animal issues and animal suffering and animal rescue and animal liberation. Thanks so much again, and please catch us next Saturday. Have a great weekend.